Secretary of State John Kerry arrived in Iraq this morning to meet with Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki as ISIS continues to take over key cities along the Syria-Iraq border. Over the weekend, the extremist group also finally captured Iraq's largest oil refinery, a major blow to the Iraqi government and Baghdad's energy security, and a sudden source of cash for ISIS. Oil is just one of the ISIS business strategies, which includes a diverse portfolio of looting banks, trafficking in weapons, counterfeiting currency, all more than capable of funding its operations. What's behind the vast cash flow of ISIS? For answers, we turn to Aaron Zellin, the Richard Borrow Fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Aaron, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So they've got quite a bankroll, ISIS does at this point. Can you enumerate it for us?
Yeah, ISIS is a very unique Sunni jihadi organization in that they don't really get money from private donors in the Gulf like we've seen in the past with al-Qaeda or al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula or others. They more or less have become self-sufficient. Part of this is because they're paranoid about being reliant on anybody else. So a lot of their money comes from black market, whether it's running business rackets, whether it's kidnapped for ransom, whether it's counterfeit currency. They're also illegally selling refined oil in areas that they've taken over. They've also gotten artifacts inside of Syria, thousands of years old, that they've been trafficking, as well as a number of other things, including the recent robbing of the central bank in Mosul. This has helped pad their coffers, and now they're probably the richest Sunni jihadi group we've ever seen.
And how well-maintained is this Iraqi capability? I mean, and can they keep it maintained and keep the oil flowing? And I guess people will buy oil no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen in the Syrian case that ISIS has been able to use the oil in the territory that they've taken over the past 8 months or so and still been able to sell it on the black market. So even though people don't necessarily like ISIS, they will likely find a buyer.
And, that's been true throughout this crisis. I mean, it's been one of the problems with sanctions. Once you get once removed from ISIS or Iran or Iraq or one of the sanctions targeted companies, it becomes a commodity and is completely fungible.
Yeah. And the thing is that they're putting all of the money that they're gaining from oil or other activities that they've been conducting back into their military operations, whether it's in Iraq or Syria. They even now have their eyes set on Saudi Arabia and Jordan based off of some recent propaganda, as well as into the social services and sort of proto-governments that they've been trying to operate in areas that they've taken over.
Can they induce Jordan to actually give them agricultural supplies? And can they be an inducement to Jordan to actually, join forces with ISIS in some level? Jordan is very isolated out there.
No, Jordan will not give in to ISIS. They've been at war with ISIS more or less going back a decade or so when the group was originally in charge by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who himself is a Jordanian. So the Jordanians will never give in to ISIS. And there are rumors that ISIS is trying to take a border crossing with Jordan. And if that's the case, we'll likely see, for the first time, Jordan being dragged into this broader regional conflict now, since their soldiers will likely start fighting them too.
And any issue with Iran? Does Iran contain them on the northern side?
They're getting closer to the Iranian border. It's believed that in one of the parts they're only about 10 kilometers away. And, one of the biggest aspects for ISIS is their war with the Shia. So if they have an opportunity to do cross-border attacks, I would not be surprised if we would see that as well.
He's the Richard Borrow Fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Aaron Zellin, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.